But first this morning, remember the line in Jaws? We're going to need a bigger boat. Well, we're going to need a bigger studio. Welcome Kathy Jordan, Shane Mitchell, Liam Kelly, Tom Morrow and Brian McDonough and Tony Byrne, better known as Dervish Morning to you all.
Good morning, Miriam.
Lovely to see you all. Listen, you've been on the road since the 90s. You've thrilled audiences at home and abroad. And the second instalment of your great Irish songbook is on the way. Great music, though, to start us off today. What's it going to be, Kathy?
It's a beautiful song written by national treasure John Spillane. It's our most recent single that we brought out with the Indigo Girls. It's a song called Passage West.
Oh, it's beautiful. Off you go.
My love in Passage West, the sun was sinking down to rest, the rivers to the stars confessed, 'twas the dark-haired lady I love best.
That's such a beautiful song and such a beautiful version of it. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Kathy, first of all, to you, tell me about the new album. That track is from the songbook too. What can we expect and who's on it?
Well, it's a very exciting venture. Like the previous album, that volume one of the songbook, we have wonderful guests. We had great people on the last one, David Gray and Vince Gill and Steve Earle and people like that, and Imelda May. And this one has the Indigo Girls, as I mentioned, with the single. We have Glenn Hansard, we have Madeline Peru, we have Sarah Giroz, Aoife O'Donovan, and the list is getting longer as we go along. It's a work in progress. There's lots of schedules to deal with, but we're over the halfway point now, so we should expect it later this year.
Oh, sounds great. Now, Shane, take us back to the start, if you don't mind. What are the origins of Dervish?
Well, I suppose it's fair to say we all grew up in Sligo. I've been playing with Liam Kelly since I was seven, and we met Brian and Michael Holmes in the early days in a pub called Hennigan's. We used to play sessions. And then we met this pastry chef from Longford in the later days. And Roscommon. She was working in Longford. But we were asked to make a recording of local Sligo music. The demand was huge for it. And that's where it all really started. And we had no singer at the time. And so we asked Kathy to join in 1991, so the rest is history, 16 albums later.
I'm sure you don't regret giving up the pastry chefing, do you?
I certainly don't. I mean, they landed into me one day, and I think it was a Thursday, and by Monday I was living in Sligo. I had my goods and my gear on the side of the road hitchhiking to Sligo, and funnily enough, only last year I met the man who gave me a lift. So he kept tabs on me all these years later, and 30 years later I met him in Seattle, and yeah, I didn't remember that lift, but he was so taken with this young girl going off to join the circus kind of thing.
Probably broke his heart. He's never forgotten you. But isn't it true, weren't you originally called the Boys of Sligo, which obviously had to change, Shane, when the pastry chef came along?
Yeah, we were just stuck for a name for that album at the time. And it was an instrumental album, and then brought Kathy in, and our first album after that was called Harmony Hill, which was named after a street in Sligo. She changed that profile fairly quickly.
Brian was watching a documentary on the Whirling Dervishes, and they were a group of poor but spiritual people who became enraptured by music. So he thought that would be a good fit for the band name. And it stuck.
And of course, you come from a musical family, don't you?
Yeah. My mother was an Irish dancing teacher, and my father was a fiddle player. And they used to have a bar in Sligo in the 60s, which was a traditional music bar. Rumour has it my father used to drive around as far as Fermanagh collecting musicians to play in the pub. I was lucky, I suppose, really, to be exposed. And, you know, it's been a great life and wouldn't change anything.
And Kathy, was there music in your family?
There wasn't so much instruments, no fiddles and flutes, but everyone sang and we all were singing. It was a singing house. My first memories are of my father and mother singing, and I'm the youngest of seven, so everyone had a repertoire. You know, there was lots of parties and sing songs, so you were encouraged. There's an old recording of me when I was three singing a bunch of violet blue. So we all had our songs, and I always loved music. I always wanted to emulate that atmosphere where everyone was singing and happy and troubles were left behind and there was great camaraderie. So I've been trying to emulate that across the world ever since.
Do you know what? You've all succeeded, because we were all just, when you were all playing, rehearsing earlier, we were all watching you and listening and dancing around out in the studio there. So it's where you're going to play another piece for us now. What's this one?
This is a set of tunes called The New Found Out. We haven't played them. This is their first outing on the radio station. And Tom takes them off and we all join in along the way.
Off you go. I love that. I'd say people are all bopping around their kitchen all around the country at the moment. Listen, there's been a few interesting side projects over the years. What is a cranky box and what is Cranky Island?
During lockdown and afterwards, I set about a project of recording a song from every county in Ireland on the island of Ireland. So there's 32 songs recorded, and then I got artists to illustrate each song using this vintage storytelling device with a viewing screen. It's like an old television, very analog. So the picture kind of passes in front of the viewing screen. So some of them are up to 10 metres long. So there's one for each of the 32 songs from various artists around the country. So it's a wonderful project, and I'm delighted to say it's up for an RTE Folk Award
next week.
Yeah,
which is still such a big event.
It's fantastic, yeah. So I'll be asking for your novenas, you know.
No problem. How do you explain the huge audiences and critical acclaim at the moment for all the singers and songwriters?
Well, folk music is something that's there all the time in the hearts and minds of people. It goes in and out of favour, but it's always there, and it's always something to tap into. And I think these days people are really tuned into it, and there's so many great new folk artists emerging that, you know, that have listened to the music from the well, that is the deepest and vastest well. We're so lucky to have it. New artists keep dipping into that and making their own variations on that music, and it's extraordinary what's around at the moment. Long may it last.
Shane, I love the story about St. Raymond's Cemetery. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was an amazing experience. I think it was Cathy and myself were doing an interview on NPR in America, and we talked about the links between our home county and New York City musically. Like in the 1920s, musicians came from southern part of County Sligo and immigrated to America and made the first recordings of any type of Irish music. And that was mainly Michael Coleman, who was like the godfather figure of Irish music. And I grew up playing Michael Coleman's records, as did Tom and Liam and all the band. And so we were talking about this, and the New Yorker magazine picked up on it and wanted us to go out to visit his grave. He's buried in New York, and he was like a superstar in the 1920s. And his music came back to Ireland, and Irish music was nearly gone at that stage, Irish folk music. And people started playing it in the houses and then went into the pubs. And it's often said that if Michael Coleman's records didn't come back from America in the 20s, would we have such a strong recorded music industry generally here? Mm. Tom and myself and Liam were now with this journalist, and it was a huge write-up in the New Yorker magazine. It was quite a day, yeah, and something I'll always remember. This musician who even today, over 100 years later, still has a strong impact on traditional fiddle playing in particular, just because of the interview and the journalist that we did. I did it sooner, so I was going to do it at some stage in my life. It was something that was off the bucket list, but it was a moving experience for us all, see where he was laid.
Yeah, so great. Now, Cathy, you're going to play for us again, but watching you all here today, you seem to get on great, do you?
We're like a family now at this stage. You know, if you're if you were over hearing us, you might have the usual family kind of grumpiness, but
which is normal,
which is absolutely normal, especially after 30 years, you know, in confined spaces. Yeah, we love it, and I think the testimony to that is when we go home, we play sessions together as well, you know. Mm-hmm. We're not totally sick of each other. We can still go into the local pub, whether it's Midlands or Shoot the Crows, or and have a few tunes together, and, you know, enjoy it, and, you know, go back to that well where that feeds us, you know, and has been so good to us all our lives, you know.
Yeah, it was such a talented sound. You're going to play one more piece for us today, what is it?
Yes, it's an Irish song called Baba Conree, about a girl who was sent off as a youngster to live with strangers in the hope that she might inherit the land. But she was treated so badly that she instead ran off with the English soldiers, which was an indication of how bad things got, Miriam.
I love it. What a great story. But look, Cathy Jordan, Shane Mitchell and all of you in Derby, it's been such a privilege to have you in here this morning. Everyone can find out about your tour and your concert dates on your website, dervish.com.
Yes.
Off you go now, and I know
Thanks
you're going
much,
to play
Miriam.
For
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Miriam.
Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.